Thank you. Well, it is a good morning, and I'm glad to be here with you. I want to speak with you a very simple message that has to do with the language of God. So my prayer has been, as we've talked about worship this last couple of weeks, and we are all wired to worship something, and for the Christian, that something is Jesus Christ. He's at the center of our lives. My wife is close to my heart. My kids are close to my heart. I love the church people. People are close to my heart, but Christ is in the center of our heart. So we've been wanting to learn how to worship, and I would like to have all of us ask God to teach us His language, the language of God. I had the privilege of attending a funeral last Sunday at 1 o'clock in this auditorium. Buzz Falecka, many of you know him. His mom passed away, went to be with Jesus. A wonderful woman of God. Just wonderful. I enjoyed very much being a part of that service. I didn't play a front platform role, but I sat in the back, and there was a few hundred people here, and the whole service was done in Amharic. Amharic. I can never can pronounce that. The language from Ethiopia. And I enjoyed the whole service. I knew what was going on, even though I didn't know what was being said. But I had this thought, I could have enjoyed it even more if I had known that language. But because I didn't know that language, I wasn't able to enjoy it to its fullest. I am going to oversee a Spanish service at 2 o'clock. There's going to be a transition that's happening. Pastor Bob has laid a foundation for our Spanish church and done such a tremendous job. We've been talking for a few years now and knew that there'd come a time where he passes the baton, and he's going to pass that today to Pastor Felipe, and I have the privilege of being there. I will have an interpreter there, but if I knew the Spanish language, there would be an even greater closeness. Here's the big thought that I want you to catch today and what I want us to walk away with. If we learn the language of God, we'll be able to worship Him more completely, and we'll connect with people more deeply. And that's why it's mandatory that we learn this language that comes from Him. If you're have read the Old Testament, you're aware of what happens in Genesis chapter 11. There was a tower called Babel, and after this event in Genesis chapter 11, people begin to speak a lot of different languages. There's a lot of diverse languages. And you, if you do your research, you'll discover that there is no exact figures. But when you study how many languages are in the world, you'll find that there are approximately 6,500 languages in the world. There's upwards to 7 billion people in the world. The number one language is Mandarin, which is Chinese, a derivative of Chinese. The number two language with and the people who speak Mandarin are 1.5 billion people who speak Mandarin. The second language that's the most often spoken is Spanish, with about 450 million people speaking Spanish as their native language. And then in the third category would be English, with about 355 or 360,000 people speaking English. Now, if you were to add those who learned a second language, because many of you speak a second language, even though I don't. I speak a heavenly language, but I don't speak a second language on earth. But many of you do. And if you added those, then English would be the second language in the category, and Chinese would be the first, and Spanish would be the third. And as I studied those, researched that to some extent, I said, God, what would it be like if all of us spoke the same language? What would it be like if we all spoke the same language? I know that when everybody had a change of language and there was misunderstanding, there was miscommunication, there was separation, there was division back in Genesis chapter 11. But what would happen if God brought us all together again and He taught us His language and we all spoke the same thing? And after thinking about that, I realized there is a universal language. It's the language of God. The language of God is universal, and I call it the language of love. So I want to talk with you about that language, and I'll do that by turning to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I'm going to be reading from the Message, which is kind of a translation, and it's a kind of a personal translation, but it says to us what Paul wants to say in very clear terms. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Many of you may recognize this as the love chapter. I'm going to outline this concept in 2015, January, because God's given us a vision for this new year. But I'm going to suffice this morning to talk with you about the language of love. If I speak with human excellence or eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. Other translations would say a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm just making some noise. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, if I speak God's word with power or prophetically, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, if I don't have love, it's nothing. And if I give everything I own, verse 3, to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, or what I do, if it doesn't have love, I am bankrupt. Now, we can learn a whole lot of things from those three verses, but I want to focus on two. The language of love, number one, is expressed through your body. When you involve your body in worship to the Lord, then that is an expression of the language of God. And the language of love is expressed through your mouth. It's through your body, and it's through your mouth. We all have heard the term body language. Your actions speak louder many times than your words. Show and tell has always been the way God reveals himself. He never tells us first. He always shows us first. So there's an involvement. If we're going to speak this language, we have to learn to involve our bodies in acts of service. That's the phrase that a guy by the name of Gary Chapman would use in one of his chapters when he wrote the book, Five Languages of Love. He relates it to marriage, but it's so true of our relationship with God. There's acts of service. It's physical touch. It's where we involve our bodies and we have hands-on. And when you do a hands-on releasing of God to help people, it's understood universally. Everybody understands acts of kindness. Everybody understands a helping hand. When you show someone kindness, when you show someone loves, that's a universal language. They understand that. Psalms 19, 1 through 4 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, yet they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voices go out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. See, when you use your body as a vehicle to release God by helping someone, to help someone to stand, to help them move, to provide a meal, to do some of those practical things, you will discover that people are touched and understand what's going on. It's not through words. There's not through speech. It's through action. All hands on deck. That's what we need this season. Everybody needs to get their hands out and get them dirty and do something for God. I got to meet a couple 3 years ago, Ann and Nate Owen. They're in the military. I invited them to our journey group. They came. We became friends. I met with them again. That was 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. I met with them last Thursday to have coffee because they were shipping out last Friday to Texas. They had been assigned to another area. I prayed for them. I talked with them. And I commended them for involving themselves in ministry, using their body, using their efforts, using their time to serve God. There's a lot of people who've come here and they've come for years and they never do anything. They haven't learned this language of love. And let me tell you, Christians, if you're a Christian, you really need this language. Some people, when you learn a second language, you learn just enough to get by. My wife has learned enough Spanish so that if we ever go to Mexico, we can get by. You know what I mean? But this is not a language you want to learn just to every once in a while use it. It's a language that we Christians need because it speaks beyond the reaches of intellectual human understanding with regards to language. It goes beyond what we say. It reveals himself. She got involved in the pantry. And we need more volunteers for the pantry because she's now left. She came in every Monday faithfully for two and a half years. They're going to miss her. She was a tremendous blessing. Many have come, never make any contribution. They came, they made a difference. Why? Because whenever you speak that language, using your body to get actually involved, you start to make a difference in the lives of people. I was walking down this hallway last week, and I was here about, I was here very early, but it was about 20 minutes before service, and there was a lady that was in the nursery there getting ready to check kids in. And I asked her, I said, "Are you in the right church? Because no one comes this early to Koinonia." I says, "Well, you know, were you supposed to go to the First Baptist, or are you from South Valley? You know, it's because we're all late." And so we laughed, but I started to talk with her about if I didn't hold the position that I hold, I would be involved in some act of service because I don't think that you grow until you actually give and be a part of what's going on. And so I talked with her and I shared that, and she says, "Well, for a long time, I have not been involved. I've been seated in the seats, and I've heard you and Pastor Andrew and others say that we need to use our bodies to serve God, to get involved in something, and yet I've never done it, but I started about a year ago. I says, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. That's why I'm here today." And I said, "Has it been beneficial to you?" "Yes, it has. I have grown." You know, you'll grow so much quicker, so much faster, if you in fact get involved in what God is doing rather than just talking about it. It is always his first thing to us. He always shows us his love and then he tells us. I don't know if we've got that picture on last night. I was getting ready for today and I was sitting on the couch and this picture came to me from David Tower. Do we have it up there? That's a picture of the groceries. We're talking about the groceries. Right here, we have, this is what one guy said, you know, "I decide that I'm going to get involved." And so he puts word out to some of his friends and he collects this and he brings it to the church. This is for the handout. See, he's not going to get any recognition for that, except I mention him and he doesn't even want me to mention his name. But he did that. He got involved. That's hands-on ministry. That's what it means to reveal your love. Now, if you are serious and would like to learn this language, I'm going to tell you how. You ready? Here's how you can learn this language. Every place you go, especially this season, ask one question. And the question is this: how can I help? How can I help? When you go to, if someone's invited you over for Thanksgiving, don't just go down and plop yourself, "Oh, got the football game. Hey, it's good to be here. Let's watch some football." No, before you watch football, you say, "Hey, is there anything I can do?" And then they'll probably say, no, we've got a hand. "Okay, great. Oh, I look good." So you get the best of both worlds. But when you start asking, there isn't a week that goes by that if I run into Pastor Andrew or Pastor Jeff, at some point they'll say, "Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do to help?" When you start asking that question and then someone says, "Yes, you can." Donna and I have been over to many people's homes and she will always ask, when we go in, I let her do the asking. She'll always ask, "Is there anything we can do?" And sometimes they'll say, "Yes, could you cut up? We're running a little late. Could you help me cut something? Can you help do this?" And we're willing to serve. And when you do that, you are making a statement. The language of God is learned when you express it through involvement and you involve your body. The second way that this language is learned is through the mouth. Through the mouth. If I speak in tongues of angels, if I speak prophetic words, there's this speaking and it has to contain love. At some point, you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to live out loud, that you're not going to just keep your love inside of you. At some point, you're going to have to speak praise. If you are married and you're like me, you have a wife, it's not good enough to say, "Donna, I told you I loved you when I married you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know." You can't live like that. There has to be daily communication of that love with your mate. There has to be something that's put on your lips. Now, last Thursday night, I got home a little late, and I noticed that in Thursday night, for those of you who watch football, there's people who like football. Well, when I got home, I was kind of saying, "Oh, great, we'll get to sit down." My oldest son was there. He says, "Hey, let's watch some game." And he says, "Well, I don't know if I want to." I said, "Why not?" "Oh, the Raiders are playing." And so he didn't need to say anything more. I understood fully what he meant. Now, if you're not a Raiders fan, well, if you are a Raiders fan, just bear with me, okay? There is a couple, okay? But they're a team that's 0-10. Now listen, they're playing Kansas City Chiefs, that they're 7-3. They're one of the top teams. Even Kansas City people weren't tuning in because they knew it was going to be just a blow away. But nonetheless, I got on it, watched a little bit of it, flicked to another place, went back, and man, they got up. It was like, 17-3 or something like that. They were ahead, and I thought, this can't be. This can't be. There's something wrong with this. Went back, went to another program, came back, and third quarter ended, and the other team, Kansas City, had come back. And then in the fourth quarter, Kansas City went ahead. I flipped over. Oh, yeah, there it is. We knew it. Just a matter of time. Flipped over, came back just before the end, and Oakland was ahead and won the game. Yeah. Amazing. Super Bowl in about 10 years from now. But at the end, I watched the celebration, because it's always fun to see a team who wins for the first time. But if you watched the interview, there was a young man by the name of Derek Carr. Yeah. And when he was interviewed, he said this: "I want to praise the name of Jesus." Yeah. A couple of times. Forgive him. He's a diehard Raider fan. He ought to be ashamed, but no, he's not. He's no shame. No shame with a Raider fan. And he said it a couple of times. And I have to tell you, when I heard that, I thought, "Wow, God, I'm impressed. A young man who's not afraid to speak up." See, I've heard a lot of sports, and I don't down any sports, but I love it when they say, "I give glory to God. I thank God." But there's something unique when you say Jesus, because you're taking it out of the category of God, who could be any God that anybody serves, to now we're defining God as Jesus, who revealed the true, the biblical God to us. And when you speak that name in public, you're saying, "I'm not afraid to declare the truth." Paul said that, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Man, it has brought me freedom from the powers of sin. I'm not going to be silent." And this young man stood up and he spoke that. It reminded me of Kurt Warner when he played for another losing team, the Rams. And he took them. When is everybody going to see it and get New England on, getting on New England? But hey, forget it. But when Kurt Warner got to the Super Bowl and he said, "I want to praise Jesus, for leading me and helping me." And I'm thinking, here's primetime Super Bowl. You pay millions of dollars for a 30-second ad. And here Jesus has got front stage, and he doesn't have to pay a cent for it. I'm thinking, wow, that is really, really wonderful. Now, if I watching this game that I didn't want to watch, listening to this young man, and I knew that he was a Christian, I know some of his history, but when I heard him say, "I rejoice," can you imagine how the father felt? Can you imagine how your dad, God, feels when you start speaking unashamedly about who his son is? Can you fathom? I was excited just on Thursday night for a few moments. Listen to the father's heart. He rejoices when he hears you talking and you don't have any fear. I'm sitting in Panera's last week, and there's two guys that come in. They don't know who I am, obviously. They sit down, and they start talking about Koinonia, and thank God they started saying some positive things. Yeah. And when I heard the name Koinonia, because usually most people can't even pronounce it, but they actually pronounced it right. Obviously, they had never been here, but they started saying positive things, and I began to whelm up with thanks because I didn't know them, but they've touched some of you. So they know what's going on, and they were speaking praise. And if I was impressed by that, if I was thankful, let me tell you, your dad, your father who is in heaven, rejoices whenever he hears you talking about his son. I know when I hear people talking about my two boys, and they don't know that I'm listening, but I overhear them saying good things. I love to hear that type of stuff. And God loves to hear you talking well. He's not too keen on the fact that when you're griping and moaning and groaning and complaining and all the other things you can do with some of your friends, they've done something and you're just putting them down. He's not too keen on that, but you fill your mouth with thanks, you fill your mouth with praise, let me tell you, he will listen to those things. Now I know, as we sit here, that everybody's not going to be gregarious, and I'm not talking about being gregarious. I know that there's people who are quieter than others. You might chalk it up to, well, that's the way I was brought up. I was reserved. You may say, I'm just shy. I don't care if you're shy or gregarious. Everyone has been created to speak. And at some moment, you got to speak. Because when you speak, it can change the atmosphere. Even as I heard, and he wasn't even in my home, but my home atmosphere changed because I heard someone declare the name of Jesus. Do you know that when you speak the words of praise and adoration and deal with that fear that keeps you silent, that you can influence people for the good? For the good. I met a young girl from another country. She was trying to learn the English language. And she was trying to speak it, but when she got around me and a few others, she became silent. And I started to develop a relationship with her, and as she hung around me, she started to speak more and more. And gradually, I had to tell her to shut up. She was talking so much. And in discussion with her, I said, "What made you start to speak? I know that you were afraid of mispronouncing the words and not saying it right, and it's you're in a different culture and stuff. But what caused it?" She said, "Well, you influenced me." And I said, "I did." And I went, "Well, yeah, okay, well, sure. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm going to influence you." She says, "Yeah." She says, "I listen to you, and you massacre the words so much in the English language and misinterpret words that you encourage me to step out in faith." It didn't happen totally like that, but it's kind of that you get the illustration. You know, all of us have a fear. Moses had a fear of speaking. And maybe it's something more than the way we were brought up. My sisters and myself never remember a time when my dad ever told us he loved us. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't feel loved, but why was it that my dad never allowed the language of God to come through his mouth? What was that? Was it his upbringing? Is the reason why I did? You know, it may be upbringing, but I think that there may be something even deeper than that. Let me ask you a question. Cat got your tongue? How many have heard that phrase before? Some of you young people probably haven't. Back in the 60s and 70s, that was a phrase that was used pretty often. It's kind of archaic now. Someone would ask you, "Has the cat got your tongue?" That's the longer version. Cat got your tongue. When you study a phrase like that, you start to research it, and it's difficult to find the origin of that phrase, but many trace it back to medieval times. And in medieval times, the witches that were prominent in that time would reveal themselves to people. And legend tells us that those witches would, when someone saw them, because see, the enemy only works undercover. If he's exposed, he loses his power. So he's always deceiving people, lying to people. He's covering himself up. So these witches, legend tells us, when they would be seen by people, they would send their black cat out to steal the tongue of the person so they couldn't tell anybody about that. Now, whether that's legend or true, who knows? But I'll tell you, even before medieval times, if you go back to the Bible, you'll find God revealing himself through Peter, and he says, you know, there is a cat. He's not a house cat that you pet. He's a lion, and he's untamed. And he is prowling around, 1 Peter 5, and he's looking for people to devour. The word someone, anyone, he wants to devour you. One of the ways that he destroys and devours marriages is he cuts off communication. He puts criticism in the mouth. He fills their mouth with complaints. This is a season of thanksgiving. And what do you fill your mouth with? Criticisms or thanks? If you're going to thank God, you're going to have to stop and look, because there's a lot of negative stuff that's happening in the world today. And our society just feeds negativity. But if you'll just pause and look around, you'll start to see a whole lot to be thankful for. That's what you put on your lips. What do I speak? Moses says, I can't talk because I stammer. I stutter. I can't speak. I'm not confident. No, what you do is you start to look around and start to fill your mouth with praise. Well, I'm going to live out loud. I'm going to tell people like it really is. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, don't give them a piece of your mind, please. You've got too little pieces left. You've given too many pieces of your mind away. Keep what you got, but give them God's mind. Speak not what you want to speak. Speak what he wants you to speak. Declare his words. Fill your mouth with thanks and with praise. Fill your mouth with affirmation. Affirmation is kind of like a parent standing on the sideline saying, come on, you can do it. It's not thanks or praise. It's just, you can do it. You can do it. No, that's good. And confidence begins to grow. Donna, come up here with me. She spoke at Pastor Charles's church. Many of you know Pastor Charles. And he leads a church fellowship meeting today. And every Sunday, just down the way, I guess it's this way here. And it's predominantly African-American. And when you go to his church and others as well that's predominantly African-American, there's a different culture you'll feel. And Donna had an experience that we've known about, but she personally had an experience that caused her to be confident and stuff. So tell us about what happened.
Well, when I was invited, it was very intimidating to me. It was such a privilege, but I don't do well in front of all of you. I do fine. Just ask me to sing, I'm okay. In front of a women's group, I'm okay. But the whole church, I just kind of like, I've always had this fear that I'm going to say something that was not correct, doctrinally correct, you know, that I would espouse something that wasn't right. So I've always had that reservation. So when he asked me to speak, I kind of thought, okay, I'm going to do it. But as I was speaking, God gave me a word that I knew that was for them. And so as I was speaking, Pastor Charles is sitting like right in that chair on the aisle. He's sitting on the chair. And I am down on the floor because there was a long area between the platform and I said, I'll just stand down there. So as I was speaking, I said something I really felt like the Lord had said for them. All of a sudden, Pastor Charles stands bolt upright, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, did I say something wrong? I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. What did I say wrong? And so he stood up, and I'm thinking, okay, does he want to speak? Does he want to come and correct me? But then another person over here stood up and says, preach it, sister. Another one over here stood up and says, say it again. I said, I think I will. I'll say this again. I'm going to tell you again. And it freed me because of that response. And you know what it did? It pulled God's words right out of me that I could speak those to them without being fearful. And with, you know, so those words of encouragement did an amazing thing of changing the atmosphere and actually causing his word to penetrate deeper. So, and it freed me, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Now, words of affirmation are words of encouragement, as right. she just used. Mm-hmm. And the word encouragement means to inspire to courage. To inspire to courage. Do you know, folks, where you stand, if you would, during our times of worship, if you lift up your voice in song, if you'll lift up your voice in praise, you would begin to inspire others around you to also Amen. Speak. Amen. But if all of you if you never put anything on your mouth, you'll find that it'll just be silent there. And silence is not golden when it comes to the praises of God. But words that are affirming really do bring out the something of confidence and courage to now you speak out. I've learned that, and I know that Donna has too, that if we'll share some of our struggles first, other people will be free to share some of their struggles as well. By the way, before you go, Donna, I want to tell you, I think you do really well in front of people, and words of encouragement. That's why I'm never asking you to speak again, because they wanted you to come back and speak, and they didn't want me, so...
Oh, you're too sweet.
The language of God is universal. That language is the language of love. We learned two things from 1 Corinthians 13, among many other things we could talk about. It's expressed through our bodies, through our involvement, through acts of sacrifice. It's expressed through our mouth as we declare his praises. But it's also expressed through song. And that's what we do in our mouths as well. We can sing. Some of us have good voices, and some of us not so good voices. But God says he listens to people who make melody in their heart, from their heart. He says, speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs make melody to the Lord. There's something about a song that's powerful. Some of you may know that there's a difference between a hymn, which we don't sing very many hymns anymore, and praise choruses, if you will. There's a difference. And I don't have time to go into the in-depth understanding. I don't even know if I could if I wanted to, but I know that a hymn is, the basis of a hymn is the words and not the music. And the basic of a praise song is the music and not the words. And in the old days, a hymn was spoken. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5:19, says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. It says, if you can't sing, speak it. If you can't sing some of the words that we say, speak them out loud. Just declare them out loud. That'll help. Wait to sing in the shower when you're all by yourself, okay? If you got a terrible voice. But at least speak them. But a farmer was trying to share the difference with his wife about hymns and songs, because one day he went to the city and went to a big church and they sang praise songs. And so he comes back and wife says, how was it? He says, well, it was pretty good, but it was pretty different. Well, why was it different? Well, they sang praise choruses. They didn't sing hymns. Well, what's the difference? He says, it's kind of like this. If I said to you, and he's a farmer, he says, this is a hymn. The cows are in the corn. Now, let's just say that's a hymn. Here's what a praise chorus would be. The cows, the cows, the cows, the black cows, the brown cows, the white cows, black and white cows, they're in the corn, in the corn, in the corn, in the corn. And if I repeated that 5 to 10 times, that would be a chorus. See, sometimes that's sad, but that's sometimes our music, our choruses don't have a lot of substance. And there's something to be said for, hey, let's get back to having some substance. We choose the choruses that we sing, and I think most of them that we sing have some substance in it. But whether you sing or whether you speak, there's something about song that brings deliverance. Psalms 32 says, I've surrounded you with songs of deliverance. Songs have a powerful way of causing, first of all, God to rejoice. And when you sing in harmony, and when you sing as a, when we as a church have one voice, it's powerful. Didn't Rick Warren say, if you have one flake of snow, it doesn't do much, but if you have a whole lot of snow, you can stop traffic? When everybody sings together, there's a sound that is made. Didn't we learn our ABCs? Maybe you didn't, but I learned my ABCs by A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and put it to music. There's something about music and sound. I'd like to have you watch this video. I saw it this last week. Just touched my heart. Maybe some of you have seen it. I don't know how long it's been around. Sometimes when you see it on YouTube, it's, you know, everybody in the world five times over has seen it. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it touched me, and it illustrates what can happen when people allow God to use them, and they invest their bodies through service when they speak with their words and when they sing from their hearts. Listen to the video and watch it.
Joyfully adore you, God of glory, Lord.
Stand with me. Stand. What if you and I decided, a few hundred people here, what if we decided this week and the month of December, if we spoke the language of love, what might happen? Would people take some pictures? Would people notice? I know that when Paul and Silas were in prison and it was midnight, everything was going wrong, they began to sing. It says the prisoners were listening. What would happen if someone, in the midst of this darkness, they heard someone declare words of praise and thanksgiving instead of the usual complaints and criticisms? I'm sure that Paul in that prison cell was surrounded by people, and maybe some of them were Christians, and probably the Christians were saying, oh, this is terrible. Why am I here? God, if God were God, he wouldn't allow this to happen, and they would have been complaining. But in the middle of the night, when praise is spoken, it makes a sound that is universal, that people understand. It's the sound of praise. It's the sound of worship. What if you and I used our bodies and involved them in acts of service? What if we said, I'm going to speak. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to declare the praises of God. What would happen if we started to break out in song? And people began to hear us sing a new song from our hearts, not one of filled with lust. I was listening to country music last week. I never listened to country music. Three songs. One was, I've just got drunk and partying, and the other one was, I left my wife. And I'm sure that all country music's not like that. But I listened to three songs. I turned the station. What if we sang songs of joy, of peace, of love? My challenge to us for this week and for this next month and for 2015 is, let's learn the language of love. Teach us, Father, how to speak through our beings, in essence, through our mouths, in words and in song. I want you to practice, okay? Don't let someone else sing for you today. Sing along with this last song. Let it be a practice session. And if you don't sing very well, you don't think, just speak the words. They're going to be up there. Just speak them. You don't even have to think. Just speak them. And let's learn this language of love. Lead us, young lady, I pray. Jesus, we love you, Lord.
You step down into darkness.
Sing with us.
Open my eyes.
Okay, let's all sing now. Yeah. Lift up your voices.
Lift
together.
Your voices unto the Lord.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Here I am
to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
So here I am
to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
King of all days,
King of all days, the soul. Glorious in heaven.
us how to speak your language. And I know that as we learn it more and more, that you will be honored and that we'll be able to worship you more completely. And I know that if we love people through acts of service and through words of encouragement and affirmation and praise and thanks, I know, O Lord, that we will connect with people more deeply. May these things happen in Thanksgiving season and the Christmas season especially. I pray these things. Let your anointing rest upon us. As we were led in the very first song, may we go out today realizing nothing's impossible for you. Things can happen greatly if we'll just speak up, shout out, and declare your praises. I pray that we will be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.